Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn to Genesis 3. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field." And the old King James there doesn't use the word cunning, it uses the word subtle. And I think the word subtle is actually a better rendition, because it incorporates the cunning, but it also incorporates a strategy. And the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. That means that the serpent is the most subtle creature that God created. He is both cunning and with strategy. He's not afraid. It's one of the things. He's not afraid. He's only afraid of God. But he's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of my ability. And he's much more intelligent than I am. I can't stand up to him. Not as a natural person. I think one of the things, and this has been on my heart a bit this week, I think one of the things that Christians miss when they consider spiritual warfare is the subtlety of the enemy. And you can see it sometimes when people get sloppy with their thinking, is that they're being subtly attacked, but they don't know it. In any military strike, in any military action, the element of surprise is a great advantage. If you can surprise your enemy and the enemy doesn't see you coming, you can do a great deal of damage to that enemy. For example, in the first Iraqi war, General Schwarzkopf had used the media very, very well. He told the media he didn't want them covering certain things, but he knew that just because he said that, they would in some cases. Some of them wouldn't. Some of them, I think, actually do care. But some of them would, and they did. And as a matter of fact, Saddam Hussein, later we found out, he was using CNN for reconnaissance. And Schwarzkopf knew that this would happen. And he was the general in charge of the operation at the time in 1990. And so he used that to his advantage. And he staged drills whereby they had landing craft bringing Marines and personnel onto a beach in an attack. So they were practicing beach attacks. And so Saddam Hussein thought, oh, the Americans are going to attack me on the beach. And so he piled up most of his army, very large portions of his army, around the beach areas of Iraq, which was actually only a very small area. But that's where he massed his troops, because he said, okay, the Americans are going to go and they're going to do a water attack, you know, on the water, and they're going to attack that way. And so he staged these drills, and I don't know how many, but it was a pretty impressive drill. And the media, of course, went after it, and look, American soldiers and practicing attacks, and this is what, you know. And in the meantime, he lined up all his tanks on the other side of the country. Right? And so while he had the Marines practicing over on this side, the Army was over there on the other side with the tanks and the heavy armor. And when the attack actually came, there wasn't that much resistance, because all the military was lined up where the decoy was. And they came in and they plowed through and they just totally leveled the Iraqi forces. And they routed him. Why? Because he used subtlety. He got the attention over here, but the attack was back here. He used subtlety. Satan does that with us. He'll catch our attention to something, and sometimes it's something that flatters or even makes us feel good or builds us up in our natural selves. And the thing in and of itself may or may not be wrong. Really, it's not even an issue of whether the thing is wrong or not. But it is a distraction, and it's a subtlety where he'll flatter someone. Have you ever gotten a lot of flattery? I don't trust flattery much. Because you can take your attention and can put it over here. Sometimes he'll attack with things like temptation. And you'll think, oh, this is a clear-cut attack. I'm being tempted. It's not the temptation. He doesn't think you're going to fail there. It's a wear down. The attack is not the temptation. The attack is the wear down process. Sometimes he can wear you down with other things. Details of life, worries, concerns, different things. And you think, oh, there's the attack. No, that's not the attack. That's the decoy. The attack is in the wear down process, and he attacks from behind where you don't see him coming. So the enemy has a great deal of subtlety. This happens to young people sometimes. You can see it. Somebody, a girl bats her eyes at a guy, and all of a sudden he's smitten. And there's an attack going, and it builds him up in his ego or in his self-image or whatever, and all of a sudden he's smitten. Or a guy pays a little attention to a girl, and all of a sudden she's a little elevated. And though she wouldn't necessarily think of doing anything, and she wouldn't, but there's a subtlety. There's a subtlety. And it's not her fault that it came, and it's not his fault that the girl did that. The point of it is, recognize. Recognize what's going on. Don't be blind through self, but recognize the warfare. The warfare in this country is not in front of our eyes. The warfare is in the back. It comes up and sneaks up behind us. Sometimes it's in front of our eyes, but in a different sort of a way. It's a carrot, and we chase a carrot. But the carrot takes us to the wrong places. It's simply a subtlety. Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field. If I have a subtle enemy, that means I have to be very precise. Subtlety, in a way, is a small space. He's occupying and is looking for a small space. Subtlety is a crack in the dam. You don't see anything wrong in the dam. But there's a hairline crack in it. And if it's allowed to stay there for long enough, it will collapse. In our lives, in the warfare, if we are fruitful, we will be attacked. If we're not fruitful, he's not going to want to stir us up. But if we are fruitful, we will be attacked. When the attack comes to a spirit-filled Christian, it's going to be with subtlety. A subtle release of sharpness and convictions. Things that would have upset me no longer upset me. I heard recently a person was actually, a pass was made against them, but not only did they not recognize the pass, they enjoyed it. And this was a Christian. They thought it was humorous. But they should have dealt with it physically, with a little bit of a forceful hand in a certain place on the person's head. But they didn't recognize it. They thought it was funny. They were attacked because they lost something. They had no precision. If this person, and they will not, I'm sure they will not. But if this person continued in the way that they were going, the dam would collapse. But I don't believe they'll do that. Subtlety. Subtlety. Beware of subtlety. If I lose my sharpness with God, Satan no longer has to be so subtle. If I lose my keenness in His Word, when you go into the military, you make sure you stay built up in His Word. Why? It's your only provision. Your battle is not against your drill sergeant. Your battle is against a supernatural enemy. You make sure you stay built up in His Word. I don't care how you have to do it, you just do it. And I don't doubt that you will. Why? Because you don't want to lose, or any of us really. It's not just in the military. Details of life, as you're going through your very busy schedules, you make sure you stay built up in His Word. Why? Because without it, you become dull. Without it, you don't recognize the attack. Without it, you may even enjoy the attack because the flesh and the natural personality come in. Lust patterns can come in. And I'm not talking only about sensual lust, though that is one of them. But there are six of them and they are very different from each other. Without precision in the Word, I don't discern what's coming my way. Without precision in the Word, I don't recognize the enemy. Without precision of the Word, even if I do recognize the enemy, I don't stand against the wiles of the devil. I'll fold. The precision of the Word of God, regulating my life, is what gets me through the battle. If I don't have that, then I will get hit. And a soldier learns how to defend himself in the presence of bullets coming against him. But if the soldier gets dull to the fact, careless with the fact that there are bullets coming against him, that soldier is going to get hit. We are the same way. If we are dull to the fact that we are in a war, we're going to get hit. If we're casual with the Word of God and undisciplined with it, we won't have the strength and the ability and the quickening to not fold. The only strength that I have is the strength from the Holy Spirit using the Word in my life to strengthen God in me. I have no natural strength, and either do you. Watch for subtlety and precision. Watch for subtlety and precision. Watch out because Satan is subtle. Watch to be precise in the Word in your life. Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field. He knows which buttons to press, and he knows exactly how to press them. And if you are not careful, if you get a little bit careless with your discipline to get built up in God's Word, for example, then you will, guarantee it, you will get hit. And if you don't use that as when you get hit as a warning sign, as a red flag, then you will become a casualty. No Christian that fails started out in failure. They got careless with the Word. somewhere along the line, they got careless with the word. You can't do that. You are in a spiritual army. There is an angelic conflict. The war is much more real than what happened in Afghanistan or Iraq. And those were all too brutally real for too many people. But this war is far greater. And though you can't see the warfare all the time, you could, if God would unveil it, take the veil off our eyes and you'll see it very clearly. But you can see its results every day. Just turn on the news. The other day they had a story on the newscast about some man who brutalized and murdered a family. That was warfare spilling over. If you doubt there is warfare, then why are you afraid to go into certain parts of almost any city in this country at night? If you doubt there is warfare. It doesn't have to be that brazen, though. Satan knows what bait to use to get it to taste good. And when you bite a hook. And when you have a hook, it's difficult to get off the line. Thank God he'll cut you loose. But he'll only cut you loose when you repent and rebound. The attack is present. It's very subtle. If he had approached Eve in any other way, Eve would not have responded. You know what that tells me? He knows exactly what to do with her. He knew exactly the bait that woman needed in order to bite the hook. Be exceedingly careful to be precise. Not to be paranoid or worried. Not to be scared. Not to see demons under your bed. But to be precise in your thinking. To be precise with your decisions. Don't entertain things in your mind that are not of God. Because if you're willing to entertain them in your mind, it's only a matter of time before you're willing to entertain them in your actions. Believers don't think that though. They think, I can entertain these things in my thinking and it won't affect my actions because I have self-control. You've underestimated your enemy. One of the biggest mistakes, I believe, that Christians make is they underestimate the enemy. You see, there is a reason why the world is the way it is and getting more so. Because the world has underestimated the enemy. There's a reason why the church is in a place where we are told that only 1/10 of them actually evangelize. Because the church has underestimated the enemy. There's a reason why the divorce rate is so monstrously high. Because people have underestimated the enemy. And the reason why they underestimate him is because he is subtle. And he knows that if he is subtle, he will be underestimated. And therefore people will be careless. you can't underestimate an enemy. If an army underestimates its enemy, sometimes, unless they make serious adjustments, the army loses. Never underestimate the enemy. Don't be paranoid about him. But recognize that you have an adversary, a personal adversary, who goes to and fro and seeks whom he may devour. He studies you. I don't believe that so many places don't teach this. The enemy actually studies you. He studies your patterns of behavior. He studies your moods. He studies your personality. He studies your likes and dislikes. He studies you. Why? Because to him, we're the enemy. Because we are the body of Christ. And his warfare is against God. So he attacks us. And he's going to do it with a great deal of subtlety, knowing where to hit. I find it interesting. I know a man who was in the Navy SEALs. And he was an officer, and they had he never did tell too many stories because he could not. But he knew how to take out an enemy combatant very quickly with minimal effort. He knew, for example, where to place a knife. Things like that. The enemy knows that. He knows where to hit me. Now, on the other hand, when I am properly built up in the Word of God, when I discipline my thinking, and yes, I do use discipline in my thinking. In other words, my mind may want to go over here, but I say, no, I'm not going there. When I have disciplined thinking to think with the Word of God, it's very difficult to take down a believer like that. Because the war is first and foremost over my mind. Why? Because my mind controls the rest of me. So the war is over my thinking. This is why he'll use things like on television, how does he get young people to smoke? Or in billboards, not so much on television, but billboards. How does he get young people to smoke? He puts attractive young people up there. And he lures them. Oh, I want that. How does he get people to, like my friend when I was first saved, she loved God, but how did he get her to walk away from God? A preacher's kid who was carnal. But he was a preacher's kid, so clearly he was safe. And her pastor gave her definition, but because she wanted something from that kid, in the end, she sacrificed God and didn't get either. It was the enemy's subtlety. He hit on her weakness, and she wouldn't be sharp. Even after she was told how to be so. And so the enemy hit her, and her want was greater than her love. If my want for anything or anyone is greater than my love for God, or really, all that is saying, greater than my receiving of love from God, then my want can win. Put away your want. Just put it away. Do you know why people want? Because they're afraid. You see, if I knew that God loved me, the want wouldn't be an issue. And the only thing I have, if I don't know he loves me, is fear. And fear makes me want, because I think that God, I'm afraid that God will not satisfy. Put away your want. God will take care of your needs. Seek first His kingdom, and He adds all things unto you. Delight yourself in Him, and He gives you the desires of His heart, of your heart. Put away the want. The want was the subtlety with which Satan attacked Eve. Put away the want. And you may say, it's a natural thing for me to want this. That's right. It's just natural. But you don't live for that which is natural. You live for that which is eternal. You see, in about 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, nobody here is going to be here. That's where you live your life. The attack is, live your life in the temporal and let the eternal be a distant thought and a faraway place. But my Bible says that the kingdom of God is within us. My Bible says that when you pass a believer, you pass near the kingdom. My Bible says the kingdom is here and now. Because time is created out of eternity. Be precise. And don't be careless with your thinking. Because if you allow yourself to get careless with your thinking, you'll allow yourself to get careless with your decisions and your living. I've seen more than my share of Christians who were amazing people at one time and then fell into some horrible things. And every single time, the reason was the same. They got careless. They didn't think with the Word. They didn't check their thoughts. They got careless. And when they got careless, want came in. And when want came in, and it wasn't always want of sin, but want was a handle, a foothold. And other things followed. Things they would have never dreamt of. And it wasn't just immorality, although in some cases, immorality was what happened. But it was things like turning against truth, attacking other believers, things they stood firmly against and opposed vehemently, and now they were participating in. Be careful. The place that I give to the enemy, I give in my mind. And he is very subtle. Now, I don't worry about, is this an attack? Is this an attack? Is this an attack? Is this an attack? I don't need to worry about that. I focus on the Word. I get completely disciplined to receive the Word. I meditate on it. I find time during the day. I make time during the day if I must to get the Word. It doesn't have to be a religious performance. And it doesn't have to be hour upon hour upon hour. But it has to be consistent. And I don't let it go. And when that happens, I don't have to worry about the attack. My mind is automatically protected. Word of God is our provision. It's the only provision we have. When I see someone who's careless about the Word or careless about church, careless in their approach to the things of God, that person is already being taken down. They're in the process. And it's only a matter of time till more serious failure follows, no matter what form it takes. You don't do that. Now, just because I'm in the Word doesn't mean the enemy won't attack. How long did it take to build the walls of Jerusalem back up? Didn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight that my walls are built back up, my spiritual walls. But you put on one brick after another, and that's how you build a wall. I put line upon line with consistency, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, with consistency. I'm laying one brick upon another until I build a wall. As Israel was building the wall, they were attacked again. You know what they did? A sword with one hand and a brick in the other. That's how we do it. As you're building your walls, the right form of walls, the enemy will attack them, because he doesn't want your walls to go up. You stay consistent in your discipline, in your thought, and your practice of getting built up in the Word. You stay consistent. You don't let it go. Personally, I won't leave the house until I've read my Bible. And some days I'm going to be late, and I say to myself, I don't care. I'm not leaving until I've read my Bible. You just stay consistent and you stay disciplined. It's your protection. The Word of God protects me from the enemy's subtleties. Now, here's the thing. And we won't address this right now. But it's not the Word mixed in my intellect. It's faith mixed with the Word. There's a big difference. I read it and I mix faith with it. And it builds me. And it protects me. And that's where I avoid, that's where I escape the satanic attacks that come against every fruitful believer. You're not going to escape the war. You're just going to be a soldier in it or a casualty in it. But you're in it one way or the other. Now, what you want to be in the war, that's up to your free volition. But I'd rather be a fighting soldier than a dead one. So how do we fight? With the sword of the Word and the shield of faith. And it's not that I'm fighting so much Satan in my thinking. Like, I'm not going out there looking for him. He'll find me. So you don't need to find the battle. The battle will find you. And when it finds you, learn how to stand. That's how you fight the war. You stand. You stand in truth. You stand in conviction. You stand in principle. You stand in godliness. You stand in grace. You stand in mercy. You stand in fruitfulness. And you stand in the love of God. That's how you stand. Watch the subtleties. Amen.